John 8, look at verse 31. John's recording here what Jesus said to us, something Jesus said to us. Say it out loud, God's word is God speaking to me. Amen. When we read this, this is Him talking to us. Then verse number 31, John 8, 31. Jesus said to those Jews which believed on Him, amen. How many of you know we've believed on Him? But that's not the end. There's more. Those Jews that believed on Him, because it says in verse 30, as He spake these words, many believed on Him. He said something to them. Their new birth isn't available yet after the blood, but they're confessing Him as, you know, Messiah. But He had something to say to people that just are getting saved. If you continue in My word, then are you what? Then are you saved? No. If you continue in My word, there's something else I have for you beyond getting saved. If you continue in My word, you with me this morning? If you continue in My word, then are you something more than saved? Then, what is then? Then you're My disciples. You're My disciples indeed. In other words, you're really a disciple. Not just because you confessed Me, not just because you believed on Me, not just because you are a Christian now. You can be a Christian and not be a disciple. Amen. Then if He said to those Jews who believed on Him, if you continue in My word, then are you My disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free.
Yes, sir. Amen.
Wow.
Yes, sir.
So you can get saved and still be bound in some areas.
Right. Yes, sir.
Not because, you know, Jesus hasn't set you free from everything Satan's bound you with, but you don't know about it.
Right.
You can get saved and not know something that Jesus did for you. Isn't that right?
Yes, sir.
And so how are you going to know it? Well, you're going to have to follow. After you get saved, you're going to have to become something else. You're going to have to become a disciple. And what does a disciple do? They continue in the Word of God. In other words, disciples don't say, well, I heard that already. Pastor's going to preach on that again. Well, I heard all that already. Well, you just put a period and said, I'm no longer a disciple. I'm just saved. Amen. So if you continue in My word, then you're something more than saved. I don't know if you've ever read, we've read it. I know you've, 1 Timothy 2 there, whenever we said God would have, you know, pray for kings, all authority, God would have all, and that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life, and all godliness and honesty. Then it says, for God would have all men to be saved, and what? Come into the knowledge of the truth. That's exactly what He's talking about right here. Come into the knowledge. You can get saved and don't know much. Well, what you don't know won't hurt you. The Bible said what you don't know will be your undoing. Remember Hosea 4:6? My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. The word destroyed means undoing. I mean, so really, as Christians, the Christian life is really to be a life under discipleship. It's to be a life in training. Amen. A life of learning. Many Christians don't want to learn. They just want to get saved. I mean, they just got saved, but they don't want to learn anything. And you can't be as good a Christian. Somebody said, I can be as good a Christian without going to church as you can be going to church. Well, you can't be as good a Christian not learning your lessons. Be like saying, well, I can learn algebra just as easy as you can when you go to school. No, you got to go to school to learn algebra. You got to have lessons. You got to have training. Isn't that right? And when it comes to spiritual things, we don't know spiritual things just because we got saved. Our minds are not renewed just because we got saved. Remember, He said to people that weren't, in Romans chapter number 12, verse number 2, He's talking to people that were born again. And He said, be not conformed to this world, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So they're born again, but their minds aren't renewed yet. And that's the vast majority. That's actually all of us. All of us come into the kingdom of God, thoroughly born again. If we were to die the second after we got saved, we go straight to heaven. But when we got saved, that's something happened in our spirit. Our mind has to be renewed. And that happens as a result of going beyond just being a Christian and become a disciple. And that's somebody who continues in the Word of God. It doesn't say, well, I heard that once. Amen. You don't know it because you heard it once. I don't know it because I heard it once. And we're not talking about, you know, when we talk about a life that's in training or a life that is a life of learning, learning the Word of God. You know, we're talking about not a textbook learning, you know, just, you know, well, I learned history. I know who George Washington is. We're not talking about that. We're talking about a training that causes you to learn in such a way that your life is accustomed to that. You've developed a new habit. Your mind isn't renewed until you have a new habit. I never think anymore. In fact, this has been this way since I was a child. My parents put the habit of going to church in me. I have never had the thought, unless I'm on vacation somewhere, that, you know, I'm not going to go to church today. It's just a habit. Amen. How many of you know you can develop bad habits, you can develop good habits? And what really we're to do is renew our mind till when our mind is really renewed whenever something becomes first nature. When we hear a bad report, we no longer gravitate towards them and the emotional. Why? Because we got learned on that. You know? You know what I mean? Whenever something, when God says, I want you to do this, we don't take hardness into our mind like, oh my God, I don't know why. That's going to be hard. You're making my life hard. I remember McKenna, and I don't know if she's here. Where's she? She might already left for vacation. But she's in Childress. But she said, whenever she found out Sam was called to the ministry, remember that? She went home and cried. I'm not going to have any money. The Lord straightened her string out. Isn't that right? Just a bunch of heart. She took hardness into her mind. Listen, we're not picking on her. We've all done that. God speaks us to do something or about something, and we take hardness in them. Remember, my yoke is easy. My burden is light. But see, an unrenewed mind takes hardness into the mind because God says, I want you to do this. This is my plan for your life. Are you with me? And so whenever our mind is renewed and God says, do that, we don't immediately go, oh, that's going to be hard. I'm not going to enjoy that. Amen. Like we did whenever we first heard about tithing. Oh, my God, they're going to ask for 10% of my money. Oh, my God, I can't even pay my bills the way it is. And we took hardness into our head. We started thinking thoughts of, that's going to be hard. I can't do that. How am I ever going to give 10% to God? And because, well, our minds were unrenewed. So we turned hard rather than, you know, bring you all the tithe into the storehouse. I'll prove if I won't open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, you don't have room enough to receive it. Rather than take that into our mind, say, "Woo, he's bringing me into a blessing. I don't have room enough to receive it." We took something other than that into our mind. But see, that's what renewing the mind is. It's learning. It's learning. Learning. And getting a new habit. Are you with me this morning? How many of you know there's a learning in faith? There's a learning in a lot of different areas. We need to learn to talk faith. Yes, call things that be not as though they are. Amen. Learn not to worry. Learn not to be afraid. Learn. It's all a process of being discipled. Yeah. Amen. How many of you know we've got a promise that there's someone in our lives that will help us do this? The anointing of the Holy Ghost. Amen. 1 John 2:27, the anointing that you've received of him abides in you. You don't need any man to teach you, but as the same anointing teaches you. Some of my favorite words in the whole Bible, the same anointing teaches you. 5 words. Some of my favorite words means I could preach on them for a month and never even get to the beginning. I wouldn't even get off the first page of my notes. That means so much to me. The same anointing teaches you. Teaches you what? All things. All things. In other words, he'll learn you. Yes, he will. He'll learn you to walk by faith. He'll learn you to not take hardness into your mind. He'll learn you to not worry. He'll learn you to, when you hear a bad report, not responding emotionally.
Yes, sir. Amen.
I said hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
He'll learn you. So you know what I mean by learn you? I know Miss Weiser wouldn't like my English, but you're not, you're getting what I'm talking about. Remember, Paul said, Philippians 4, 11 and 12, he said, this is the Amplified, not that I'm implying of any that I was in any personal want, for I have learned how to be content, satisfied to the point where I'm not disturbed or disquieted in whatever state I am. The Holy Ghost will learn you not to get all this. He said here, disquieted. This means negative, not, and quiet means calm and peaceful. So he'll learn you not to get all worked up. How many of you ever found yourself going that direction and you got something in there scratching you and that's the Holy Ghost in there teaching you? Don't do that. Don't do that. That'll shut my power down. Don't get all worked up about that. Don't get all emotional. Don't respond to that emotionally. He'll learn us on these things. I have learned. In other words, here's what one thing the Holy Ghost will teach us to do. He'll learn us when circumstance, financial conditions aren't there and things aren't working. It doesn't look like things are working. He'll teach us to be independent of that. Remember, one translation says, I have learned to be independent of circumstances. In other words, learn that whenever the money's not in the bank, we don't lose our joy. He'll learn you to do it. He'll learn you to come to church and rejoice and shout and praise God whenever you don't feel like it.
Amen.
And the devil will say, you're being a hypocrite. You say, no, I'm being a Bible man. I'm being a word man. I count it all joy. He's learning me how to count it all joy. He's learning me. I know you want me to say teaching me, but I'm making a point on, I'm using this word on purpose. I have learned. You don't know how to do so many things spiritually, so many things in the Bible. You don't know how until you learned. And so we're going to look at this morning. Amen. How many of you know the Holy Spirit, like I said, is in our lives and He's there to help us in all the affairs of life? Amen. He's on the job. He's spiritually in our spirits. He's teaching our spirits about spiritual things. And these lessons are really for our advantage in life. Amen. It's you and my job to make ourselves a good student of the one who's teaching. Now, the one who's teaching is not a physical person, but yet, and so therefore people miss what he's saying because it's not an audible voice, somebody that we can see talking to us in front of us. I mean, I know he uses people like in a church service or something, but right on the other hand, we need his learning more than just what we hear in church. We need to actually be taught about what did he say in church? I need to be taught about that.
Yeah.
You know, and the Holy Spirit will be the one who tailors it for you so that you get it, like he tailors it for me so I get it. How many of you ever had him take something somebody said and learn you on it? You heard him say it, but you didn't get it. And later the Holy Spirit talked to you about it and you're like, oh, he just learned me. Amen. He's the great teacher, isn't he? Praise God. Now, let's read through some verses, some interesting verses. Now, these are all going to be amplified. Matthew 11, 29. All these verses, there's so much in the Bible about learning. This is the Amplified, Matthew 11, 29. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. I'm gentle and meek and humble and lowly in heart. You'll find rest, relief and ease and refreshment, recreation and blessed quiet for your soul. So we should learn to live at ease, not disquieted, live refreshed. Not always worn out. You know, a lot of people are always worn out because they have bad mental habits, not just bad physical habits. Now, I know we got to learn to go to bed, you know. But you can have bad mental habits, not shutting your mind down. But the Holy Ghost will teach you to rest. I want to get into that in another service sometime. But he'll learn you to be, he called it here, blessed quiet. He'll learn you or teach you to walk in peace. So he said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Now it says Jesus himself in Hebrews 5, 8 through 9. It says, although he was a son, this is amplified, he learned active special obedience through what he suffered. And His completed experience making him perfectly equipped to become the author and source of eternal salvation and so forth and so on. So notice that word. He was a son, although he was a son, yet he learned. Jesus learned just like you and I learned. Now, you and I can learn by missing it and then getting the consequence. Jesus never missed it, but he still had to learn. Now, and then it says, this was an experiential learning. Verse 9 says, his completed experience, making him perfect. In other words, he experienced learning. This was a tutoring of the Father. We'll see some verses in a minute. A tutoring of the Father, showing him the plan and what to do and even who to minister to and so forth and so on. And as he did that, he kept learning the things of God. Now, listen to Philippians 4. 11 and 12. Not that I'm implying of any personal want, for I have learned. Paul had to learn. Paul had to learn how to be content, satisfied to the point he wasn't disturbed, and so forth and so on. And so then we've got Jesus said this in John's Gospel, the 8th chapter, the 38th verse in the Amplified. I tell you the things which I have seen and learned at my Father's side, and your actions also reflect what you have learned from your father. Talking to these people who had their father the devil. You remember that? Yeah. Notice he said, I've learned these things from my father, at my father's side. What he's saying is, there's a place in the fellowship of God that he'll teach you everything you need to know. Amen. There's place in times of prayer. Prayer is the classroom of the Spirit. Amen. Prayer is the classroom where the Spirit of God learns you. So if you don't have much of a prayer life, he's not going to be able to learn you.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. That's real good.
And I could spend the whole service just on that. So I tell you, Jesus said, this is John 8:38, verse in the Amplified. I tell you the things which I have seen and learned at my Father's side. So when Jesus came out saying certain things, remember he said, I only say what I hear my Father say. When he said certain things, he had been in the presence of God, and God had talked to him, taught him that. Well, that's exactly the way we're supposed to live. Amen. Tell your neighbor, that's good preaching, Pastor Jay. So then we've got John 6:45 in the Amplified is written in the book of the prophets, and they shall all be taught of God. Amen. So we're to be taught, and the Amplified goes on, everyone who has listened to and learned from the Father comes to me. So we can all be taught of God, not just Jesus. That's what that verse says in 1 John 2:27, the anointing teaches us. That's really him in heaven through the Spirit of God in us teaching us. I mean, he's got the microphone in heaven and the speakers on the inside of us. So, John 6:69 in the Amplified says, we have learned to believe and trust. The disciples were talking about Jesus. We have learned to believe and trust. And we have, and more have come to know surely that you are the Holy One of God and so forth. So notice, we have learned to believe and trust. There's a learning in believing. There's a learning in trusting God. Yes. People don't know how to do that because they got saved. Right. I didn't know how to do it. Did you? I'm learning, still learning how to believe God. That reminds me of 1 Timothy 1:4 in the Amplified. It says that nor give importance to occupying themselves with things which foster unbelief and questions rather than the divine training which is in faith. We need to start taking on the mentality that as believers, we're in a training. We're in a training. We're not just, you know, we're just taking up the air down here until Jesus comes back or we die. We're in a training. We're being prepared for something. We're being prepared, and to the degree we take our lessons and let the Spirit of God train us, or God through the Spirit train us, that's the degree that we'll actually get into what we're prepared for. You know, if you're going to do some kind of, if you're going to be an engineer, you got to go to school and prepare for that. If you're going to be a math teacher, you got to prepare for that. you're going to do whatever you're going to do, you got to have certain classes. You got to be prepared for that. And then they certify you and say, okay, now you qualify to be an engineer or whatever. And the same thing's true with spiritual things. God said, okay, I got some things I want to train you in. I got some things that I plan I want to do with you, do through you. But in order to get you there, I have to train you in something. See, there's more to this than just being a Christian. It's about walking out what God has for us to do down here. And that's going to require some training. It's going to require some preparation. Why is it we think that when it comes to being an architect or being an engineer or doing something in the natural realm, we need training, but when it comes to spiritual things, we need no training? That's just wrong thinking. There's preparation. That's why Brother Hagin used to say, prepare me for what you've prepared for me. It's not automatic that we're ready for everything God has for us. And I tell you, a lot of us are not as ready as we think we are. Amen. I know young people coming up want to go into the ministry. It's pretty much always, invariably, later than they thought it would be. Divine training, which is in faith. Pay attention to the teacher that's training you in faith. Amen. He's on the inside. Yes. Yes. I said he's on the inside. Amen. Your attention gives the Spirit of God inside of you the opportunity to train you in these vital lessons. Amen. He'll train you to walk by faith. I'm still learning to walk by faith. Amen. I mean, I remember, I believe it was Brother Oral Roberts. Brother Copeland told this story, or maybe Brother Oral Roberts told this story, that one time Brother Copeland and him were visiting. Brother Copeland and Oral Roberts were visiting, and Brother Copeland got to teach, or he wasn't teaching, but just talking about faith. And Oral Roberts got on the floor, sat down on the floor in front of him, crossed his legs and said, teach me about faith. That man knew he's still hungry to learn about faith. He knew that if I can learn this, I mean, here's a man greatly used of God. But yet he's still saying, there's still so much I want to learn. So much I want to learn. Well, what about us? Are we just coming to church to do our duty, check the box? Or are we like, I want to learn something. There's some things I'm not seeing the victory in. And I want to learn. You know, one of the biggest hindrances to learning, and that is thinking you already know. You need to start approaching the Word, start approaching faith like, I've never heard this before. Just act like, oh my goodness, whoa. I mean, you mean this is the victory? You mean I can receive healing? You mean Jesus said this is, he said your faith made you whole? Teach me about faith. I want to learn. I want to learn. Listen, it's not on God's side if it's not working for us. So he said, in the Amplified here, 1 Timothy 1:4, don't give importance to or occupy yourselves with things that foster unbelief and questions rather than the divine training which is in faith. So what he's saying is, give importance to this divine training which is in faith. The Spirit of God, give importance to what He says to you whenever you're beginning to say, you're beginning to say something in unbelief. Give importance to that check on the inside that says, don't say that. Don't say that. Say, my God supplies all my need according to His riches in glory. Give importance to that. Say, wait a minute, I just got, the teacher just stood up on the inside of me and taught me something not to say. Taught me. And give importance to that. You know what, where a lot of Christians struggle is they go to churches that don't teach them to look on the inside for the teacher. They teach them to look for God out here somewhere. He's on the inside. Amen. So pay attention to your teacher. He's on the inside. And so when your attention is on the one who's on the inside, it gives him the opportunity to train your spirit in a more vibrant and active faith. These lessons will contribute to success in walking by faith. You know what I'm talking about? Most people are not really taught to look on the inside for God. But we're the temple of the Holy Ghost. The anointing which you have received, 1 John 2:27, the anointing that you have received of Him abides where? That's not a trick question. Go ahead and say it. Within you or in you. The anointing, 1 John 2:27, that you have received, which is going to teach you. This is where the teacher is going to come from. He's going to, he dwells and abides in you. So look within. When he's saying in, he doesn't mean up here. Remember, said Jesus said, out of your belly will flow rivers of living water. This spoke he of the Spirit. The Spirit's not bearing witness with your head. The Spirit's bearing witness with your spirit. And you can look to your head, and your head doesn't know what to do. I was talking to Pastor Debbie about something yesterday. And I told her, because it looks like, I don't know what to do there. But I told her, I said, I just made a good confession. I said, now, I'm going to keep my head off of this. Because I got to know in here what to do. And she's keeping her spiritual antenna up. We work together. So we've got to train ourselves that just because somebody says something doesn't make it true. It's like, what does the Holy Ghost inside of me say about what they said? Amen. Well, the teacher inside will take you right through your own personal faith school. The divine training which is in faith. Amen. How many of you know if we will listen better, we'll learn our lessons better? Let me rephrase that. We'll learn our lessons quicker. Quicker. Amen. We won't get so many bumps and bruises in life. Amen. And slow development is really the result of not paying attention to our teacher on the inside or being slow to respond. Pastor, you're preaching real good this morning. How many of you know Jesus is the author and the finisher of our faith? He wants to keep on perfecting that which he begun. Keep on working until we understand how to walk by faith. Isn't that right? And he perfects it through teaching and preaching. He perfects it by the Spirit of God teaching us on the inside. You know, Jesus taught Brother Hagin faith on the sickbed. He taught him. Remember, he said, actually, I love the way he said it. He said, of course, remember he had the experience of dying, and he started going down. And he said, he started realizing, I'm going the wrong way. He said, God, he said, I belong to the church. I've been baptized in water. You remember all that? And he thought he was going the wrong way, but he's going down to hell. This is before he was saved. And remember that happened a couple of times. And finally, I think it was the second or third time on the way up, he started confessing Jesus and calling on the name of Jesus. And when he got back in his body, because the spirit and the soul had left the body. When a person dies, they leave their body. But he said, when I got back in my body, my voice picked up my confession of faith in Jesus as Savior right in the middle of my sentence. And I started saying it right out. I started hollering it. I mean, when you're just that close to hell, I mean, you would holler it. So he's hollering, Jesus, I receive you as Lord and Savior, so forth and so on. He said, and he had that knowing and assurance. Maybe the Spirit of God bears witness that we're the children of God. He knew he was saved. And then at first, he said, my first thought was, well, now I'm ready to go. I don't care if I do die now. At least I'm ready to go. But he said the next day, he said on the inside, he said something. Now, we know it's someone. He learned it was someone. But at first, he said, something kept telling me I didn't have to die at this early age. You know what that is? That's the teacher. Something kept telling me I didn't have to die at this early age. Really... what happened was the doctors kept saying, we've never seen anybody in medical science live past the age of 16. I think at the time he was 15, if I remember right. And so, you know, we don't have any way of, you know, treating this, you know. So, just prepare yourself to die. The doctors kept saying, speaking death and, you know, so forth and so on. But he said... after he got saved, he said, the very next day, something told me I didn't have to die at this early age. And he said, he just had that inward knowing. And he said really what had happened, because he was born again, the Holy Spirit had come on the inside of him and began to, because how many of you know the Holy Spirit's in you and he's not... Or let me say it this way. He's on the job.
Amen.
He's on the job.
Amen.
Well, I just don't know what to do. He's on the job.
Amen.
Look to him. He's in there.
Amen.
He's on the job. He'll tell you exactly what to do. Isn't that right? But Brother Hagin said, something kept telling me I didn't have to die. He said, but hadn't learned yet. This is the way he said it. He said, I hadn't been taught and I hadn't learned yet to look to that, to trust that inward teacher. Wow. He said, we didn't have any kind of teaching that taught us to do that. Thank God today we do.
Amen.
I said, thank God today we do. And he said, but after, you know, this inner knowing came into him, he said, because he hadn't learned, because he had no one, they didn't have any teaching in that day, he said, he would say, and his mind would take over, his head would take over, and he would say, yeah, but the doctor said. He said, whenever he would say that, he said, something, that knowing on the inside, it became less distinct. Less distinct. And, he said he would go for a while and then he'd get quiet again. And then that he'd be conscious of that knowing on the inside. Anybody been through this same process? This same faith school that Brother Hagin went through? Yeah. Anybody's paying attention? Isn't that right? And so, but he said, thank God, he said, I eventually learned to listen. He said, I didn't know why. He said, I just started thinking, well, I'm just gonna start listening to that on the inside of me. He said, nobody taught him. He said, I just learned to follow. And he said, that voice, well, it really wasn't a voice. It was just a knowing. That knowing and that voice, because there was a voice that spoke to him. Some of it was the devil, and he didn't know if it was God or not. But eventually the Holy Spirit bore witness and counteracted what the devil had said. And he's learning to know there's different voices in the spirit realm and which one's God. How many of you know the Holy Spirit will teach you which one's God and which one's not?
Amen.
I've met some people that call themselves prophets. They still don't know the difference between the voice of the Holy Spirit and familiar spirits. Dear God, if you're going to be in the ministry and be a prophet, you better learn the different voices in the spirit realm. One minute it's the Holy Ghost, next minute it's familiar spirits. You know, people like that, you shouldn't be feeding on.
Amen. Yes, sir.
Amen. You heard me say a couple of times in the last couple of weeks about certain, you know, I've heard many people in the body of Christ that are prophets, and they're all saying the same thing about this whole election thing. And you might say, well, tell us who they are. Well, see, I don't necessarily trust them all.
Yeah.
I don't want to get you weaned onto them. There's some that have a good reputation, you know, but whenever they're prophesying all sorts of things that don't come to pass, well, anyway, and people can prophesy it out of their own spirits without the Holy Spirit. I don't know if you understand that, but that's possible. And then there's a voice that sounds a whole lot like the Holy Spirit. Well, how am I going to learn the difference? You're going to have to trust God. You're going to have to pray in the Holy Ghost. Anyway, Brother Hagin said, I eventually learned. And he said, that inner knowing, that inner witness, he eventually realized it was the Holy Ghost bearing witness with his spirit and so forth. He said, that inner witness led me right into my healing. It led me right into the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Led me right in. He said, everything I know today, I was taught by that inner knowing. Praise be to God. Amen.
Amen.
How many of you know that sometimes people actually start learning to pay attention to the teacher on the inside, and life starts working, they start succeeding, their family, just take the love walk. How many have ever gotten ready to say something and something starts scratching you on this? Don't say that. And you let it fly anyway, and then after 3 weeks of hardship because of it, you say, I knew better than that. The Holy Ghost in there was trying to learn me. But then we finally learn and we start succeeding and life is better, marriage is better, the kids are turning out right, and finances are working and so forth. And people have the idea whenever their life, that person's life just takes off and flourishes. They have the idea, like Brother Hagin said, that God leaned over to the Jesus and or God called Gabriel over or something and said, you see that big tux, you know, big eye went down there? Or see how he's doing, how well he's doing? You know, he called Gabriel over and said, I'm just going to take a liking to that man and start blessing him. But it wasn't that God did something special for that man. It was that that man learned. Brother Hagin told a story about a man, a businessman. I know him. I met him. He was at a church down in Florida where I preached a camp meeting a couple times, actually. He told a story about one of his board members, one of Brother Hagin's board members. This will challenge you to the core. He said he was a businessman, you know, doing all right, but nothing special. And he said he got a hold of, Brother Hagin said, he got a hold of my CD tape back then about how to train the human spirit. And he started listening to that and how Jesus said to him that vision, if you'll learn to follow my spirit, I'll make you rich. I'm not opposed to being rich. I'm opposed to my children being covetous. And he kept listening. He said that man listened to that hundreds of times. Amen. Wore out a tape and get another one. Until finally he started understanding about the Spirit leading him. How the Spirit will guide him. And he said that man, and I know there's many people that know this as a fact. This is not just somebody, you know, evangelistically preaching. This man is loaded. He's a businessman, and he became worth over, well, that this was 15 years ago. I don't know what he's worth today. $100 million. And he said, I'll tell you what the key was. I just learned to follow my spirit. Just learned to follow my spirit. Amen. Your head sometimes will say, no, that's not smart, but in here I knew to do it. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. 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 Some of you, a number of weeks ago, you heard me say that, you know, there's an investment God put in. I said, it'll multiply tenfold. Some of you looked at me like, nah, that's one of those gimmick things probably. He'll all lose all that. Well, it's already doubled. Just in a month. Hallelujah. I had a witness, actually, Pastor Debbie and I talked about it, putting it in way back before we did. Like when it's at $50. No, it was actually at over $100 some, rather than where we put it in, at about $10,000. I mean, that's a nice multiplication. I miss that because I'm not perfect yet in following that, but I got in. Hallelujah. I'm learning. Anybody that's learning, listen, God doesn't create failures. We do that all by ourselves. We don't need God's help for that. We can do that. God, you stay over there. I can fail all on my own. Watch. I'll do it. I can do it. Doesn't have to pay any attention to him. Don't have to listen to him. Woo! Glory. Some of you wouldn't shout if I said I'm giving away. Everybody gets a new car today. Some of you still sit there. Oh, really? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory. Glory to God. Woo. Will it work for you?
Yes, sir.
No, God doesn't take a liking to that businessman, for example. God didn't just take a liking to him and said, I'm going to see that big Oklahoma boy down there. I'm going to take a liking to him, and I'm just going to bless him. No, it wasn't that God decided to do something. It's that he decided to learn.
Yes, sir.
He decided to learn.
Yes, sir.
Anybody in here ready to learn?
Yes.
I'm ready to learn. I've had enough hardship in life.
Yes,
amen. 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 Hallelujah. Amen. That man learned. Jesus taught that man. He became worth $100 million. And a great blessing. You know, how many of you know there's people that become worth $100 million and won't bless anybody? But this man's great blessing.
Amen.
You know, you'd hear Brother Hagin say, well, we're going to believe, you know, in this camp meeting, $2 million is going to come in. He's always a part of it. You know. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Oh, glory.
Hallelujah.
Now, it's not all about money. You realize there's many learnings. There's learning in every area of life. But see, that man learned to follow the Spirit, but you can too.
Amen.
But see, it takes a renewing of the mind. Where rather than this thing dominating us, the Holy Ghost in here dominates us. You know what the renewed mind does? The renewed mind always surrenders to the inward knowing. The unrenewed mind tries to dominate the inward knowing. And well, yeah, I know that's in my heart, but see, that just doesn't make any sense. And it tries to overrule. That's an unrenewed mind. Anybody still working on that one like me? All right, Philippians 1:10. That was all free. That was all about faith. Philippians 1:10 in the Amplified. So that you may surely learn to sense what is vital and approve and prize what is excellent and of real value, recognizing the highest and the best, distinguishing the moral differences, and so forth and so on. Notice that. Learn to sense what is really vital, really important. Boy, that's a big one. That's all part of this learning. But now, those are all verses that talk about learning. Did you get all those verses? Now, go over with me to Isaiah 50. We got to get rolling here. We're quickly losing time. Isaiah 50, verses 4 and 5. Now, this is then the Amplified. Isaiah 50, verse 4 and 5 in the Amplified. The servant of God says, "The Lord God has given me the tongue of a disciple and of one who is taught, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him who is weary. He wakes morning by morning. He wakes my ear to hear as a disciple, as one who is taught. The Lord God has opened mine ear. I have not been rebellious and turned backwards." Now, you know the Amplified doesn't use the word learn, but how many of you know the King James does? He wakens my, he gives me an ear to hear as the learned. King James says. Isn't that right? The word learned in the King James, which is taken from, of course, a Hebrew word, and the Amplified gives it some definition here. It says a disciple, one who is taught. It uses that word in the Amplified. But if you look up the Hebrew word translated learned in the King James, it means instructed to the point of being accustomed. Oh, my goodness. Instructed to the point of being accustomed. And then it says, discipled. Now, what does it mean to be accustomed? It means to practice something till you're acclimated to it. Something that becomes a habit. Or it's just your practice. Remember, the Bible says, as Jesus' custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day. Jesus developed a habit of going to church. He didn't get up in the morning and think about whether he's going to go or not. Let me say something to you parents. It's not about you. You go to church because you need that habit in your children. Even if you don't want to go. The price of training them that church is not important, sometimes we go, sometimes we don't, is higher than you are aware of right now. Sometimes I want to scream. Not at them, but I want to scream, listen to the Holy Ghost. You're going to save yourself a whole lot of trouble. Learn to go to church. Get your kids in church. Somebody said you're trying to get people in your church. Well, yeah, but if you don't like us, go somewhere else. Find a church and to put that habit into them. I said amen, amen, amen. But see, that's what this learned means, or being discipled. Remember, Jesus said, if you continue, you're my disciples. Well, what does that mean? A disciple is someone who practices something till he's acclimated to it. It's a habit. It's a custom. Amen. It's more than just being taught mentally or intellectually. You have schooled yourself into living that way. Isn't that right? You trained yourself. You've worked it into you until you get used to it. When people respond to bad reports emotionally, that's because they have practiced that and they've gotten used to it. There's another thing you can train yourself in, responding in faith. When you hear a bad report, just like Jesus, whenever he was going to Jairus' house, got delayed by ministering to the woman with the issue of blood. You remember that story, Mark 5? And the Bible said while he's getting the woman with the issue of blood's testimony, remember they came from Jairus' house, said, "Trouble not the master anymore, your little daughter is dead." The Bible said Jesus immediately said, "Fear not, believe only, and she'll be healed." In other words, he was giving that man a training not to go there in his mind. Don't go there. Don't go there in unbelief. Oh, it's too late. It's over. Or whatever, emotionally crying about it. See, he's walking. Jairus had been walking by faith. He said, "You come lay your hands on her and she'll be healed." That's his state. He planted a faith flag and said, "She will be healed."
Amen.
But something came up exactly the opposite. And you know what the temptation was? To say, "That's over. That didn't work. Too late." Boy, I see people. Christians need to get a backbone. You know, whenever people die, sometimes these scientists or whatever, they donate their brain to science or whatever. But whenever I die, I want to donate my backbone to some people.
Amen. Yes.
Like, "Here, take my backbone. You need my backbone." Jesus, I don't know what's with them out there today. They're just, some of them just staring at me like... That's what we're doing right now with the election. Get a backbone.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Yes. Somebody said, "When you get like that angry, you're not angry at me, are you? No, I'm angry at unbelief. I'm angry at what causes things to be lost, gives things up out of the power and keeping of God." Amen.
Amen.
Tell your neighbor, "I'm going to donate my backbone to some people too." Amen. Woo, glory. Some synonyms for this word, accustomed. Some synonyms are ingrained. It's built into you. It's gotten into the very fiber of your being. It's become a mentality. Your mind is not renewed until you got a new mentality. Just because you had a new thought from the Bible one day doesn't mean your mind is renewed to it. You got to learn to train your thinking to think that way. Amen. It's ingrained into you. Remember the Bible said, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly." When it gets in you real richly, it's just your whole makeup.
Right. Amen.
And you go to Thanksgiving around other people that don't think that way, and you're like, "Oh, that's right. It's just so much a part of my life. I don't even think about this anymore." But with them, it's totally different. They think differently tonight. Which, by the way, don't argue over politics over Thanksgiving. Pastor Debbie was... some people just aren't ready to hear what we're saying in church, you know. Just love on them. Amen. You might do what Pastor Debbie said. Just say, "The will of the Lord will be done." And they think that's right. Whatever the will. But you're saying, "We know what the will is." It's just that. And then, you know, give their kids a gift card to, something, and love them and bless them. And they'll be all glad you came. And amen. So it's gotten into the very fiber of your being. It's a habit. You're habituated to it. You're adapted to it. You're acclimated to it. You're trained in it. All that is accustomed. Amen. You ever heard that term, "He learned him"? You never heard that term? You know? I've heard parents say, "I'm going to learn you, you kids." Not to interrupt when adults are talking. "I'm going to learn you." Amen. I had an electric fence learn me one day when I was a kid. I didn't think it would be that bad to grab onto an electric fence, and I couldn't let go. I grabbed onto it and couldn't let go. My brothers had to knock me off. Of course, they were the one that suggested that I touch it, you know. Which reminds me, I never have got even for that. I'm kidding. But that thing learned me. You know what I mean by learned me? I'm not doing that again. To show how tough I am. Because then my brothers thought, you know, if you're really tough, you can grab onto that fence. Well, I'm tough. Let's show you. So, how many of you know you can learn to get to someplace 10 minutes early? It's a bad habit you've learned to always be late. Pastor, don't go to meddling, Pastor. We become accustomed to things, and it's a bad habit. But you can learn that you're not on time unless you're 10 minutes early. Amen. You can learn that. It's a habit. You can learn to save. You can learn to invest and not spend all your money. You can learn a lot of things. It's hard at first. Oh, I'm gonna give 10% to God and put X number percent in the investments for retirement. And it's just so hard. After a while, you won't even think about it. Why? Now you're accustomed to it. You can learn to pay extra on your mortgage. Pay it off and whatever. You can learn. You can learn. I've met city folks that are so used to traffic noise or noise, city noise, that they can't sleep when it's quiet. Okay. I didn't learn that. They've been accustomed to traffic noise. You know what I'm talking about? But see, these are all natural illustrations that illustrate spiritual things. We can develop spiritual habits, develop good habits, develop faith habits, develop the right mental habits, to not have a mind that just is just practiced in worry. Remember Brother Hagin said one of the things, in fact, you listen to a lot of his crusades or a series of meetings, he'll usually take at least one service and talk about casting your care on the Lord. And not worrying. He just preached that all the time. He said because that was something that he had to deal with. He always was trying to get into his life. Well, he was wise and he kept taking the word and answering those things. You can learn to answer things rather than turn them over in your mind. Amen. Reason Brother Hagin was skilled in worrying as a young child. He said he grew up in a home with two world champion worriers. His mother and his grandmother. Anybody still having fun this morning? You can learn to not take offense. That's a bad spiritual habit. I've met people that if nobody's offended them, they find somebody that was offended and jump on their bandwagon. Just always, you know, taking on unforgivenesses. And I mean, and people, oh, it's just no way to live. Are you still with me?
Yes, sir.
You can learn to follow what you know in your spirit when your head doesn't understand where you're going. You can learn to do that. Abraham went out by faith when he was called to go out into land which he should have to receive for inheritance. He obeyed, not knowing where he was going. Many people have to understand everything. Well, if I don't understand, I can't do it. Well, you'll never be a faith person. I'm not saying just do things that you don't understand all the time. I'm talking about if you have a leading of the Lord and you know you've talked to God and spent time in His presence, worked it out, and you're sure you've heard from Him. Well, then your mind's saying, yeah, but I don't know. Where are we going to get the money? Where are we going to do? You know, you just have to get good at and practice the skills. See, so many of these are skills. We need to develop spiritual skills like we develop natural skills. I've learned to brush my teeth. I've learned to wash between my toes when I take a shower. I mean, these are just things that I don't think about anymore. Some of you just learned something right there. But scrub behind the ears, kids. Get behind the ears. Anyway, but got to keep some of you other ones awake this morning. But all those things in the natural, but you don't think about it anymore once you learned it. But spiritual things, it's going to take some effort. How many of you know some of these things we have learned wrong? And so it's going to take some effort to undo a bad habit, undo a bad mental habit. I meet people that there's just some things I don't tell because I know they're going to worry about it. They haven't learned. Staff, sometimes they'll come to me and say, well, I don't know if you want to know this. Should I tell you? And I say, listen, I've learned the habit of just casting it on the Lord. So if I need to know it, tell me. Yeah, well, Leanne, you know, she did it again, you know. No, I'm just kidding. But you know what I'm talking about? They're trying to protect me whenever I can handle it. Because I've learned I'm going to bed tonight. I'm going to sleep like a baby. Amen. I've learned to start the chainsaw, you know. cutting Z's. That's the chainsaws cutting Z's. That's what. Hallelujah. The Bible said in Isaiah 50, verse 4 and 5 that, Hebrews 5, verse 8. Hebrews 5, 8, that Jesus learned obedience. Anybody? No, you have to learn how to obey. Have your children ever obeyed, but they stomped off with an attitude? Guess what? They haven't learned yet. They got something to learn. You want to teach them how to obey. Mama T's having a good time. Was it Maya or the other girls that had to learn to obey? Oh, yeah, oh, yeah. Oh, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. How many of you know the learning of the Spirit goes much deeper than just head knowledge? Can you see what we're talking about is not just, you know, you log the information in your brain, but you never practice it. You don't know how to practice it. I think the best way to learn, you know, like if you're going to get a degree, whatever, let's just say engineering again, you got to have certain classes and you got to have the training and, you know, get the certification, all that stuff, the degree. And we understand that. But how many of you know there's people, I've seen people like this in politics. They went to school to learn all about whatever they learned, like in politics, people learn about politics, political science, and they come out and they're dumb. It's like, say the stupidest things. So all this book knowledge and head knowledge just made them more ignorant. I mean, just they're so smart, they're stupid. You ever heard some of these people talk? You're like, whoa, oh, yeah, that's deep. Whoa, okay. The best learning is just practical experience. I think every politician ought to be made to run some businesses and make them succeed. Rather than say they know all about all this. Many of them never have created a job or done anything. They just got a degree and started going to the university and teaching what they got the degree about, and they're dumb. They don't know how to do anything. They don't know how to create wealth. They don't know how to create a job. They don't know. Anyway, I'll get off of that. Tell your neighbor. So what this learning that we're talking about when it comes to spiritual things is not just supposed to be book learning or head learning. We should say, okay, the Bible, I see in the Word I'm supposed to cast my care on the Lord. I see in the Word that I'm supposed to, not worry or have any anxiety about anything. And so when the next opportunity comes, I'm going to practice that. And oh, that's different than just going to church and hearing about it. Now you're really learning. Or to walk in love and bite your tongue when your flesh wants to fly off and say some things. And you don't know anything about marriage until you've been married for a while and you bit your tongue and you got crease marks right over here because you bit your tongue so much. Oh, hallelujah. There's so much. Okay, let's just talk about some things we should learn before we go. How many of you know you need to learn to fellowship with the Father? Learn to do that, not just approach His presence mentally, but really quiet your mind and let your heart fellowship with Him and listen to Him on the inside. Talk to Him from the inside. Learn to walk with God. Learn to dip into your spirit rather than trying to understand things with your mind. The Bible said in Hebrews, by faith we understand the worlds were framed by the Word of God. Well, explain that. I just did. He said it and it became. Yeah, but you don't understand. No, I understand. He said it and it became. People want to figure all that out. By faith, we understand. There's some things we understand by faith. Then how about learning to recognize Him at work? That's a big one right there. Recognize Him at work. I see God moving in people's lives sometimes and they're still crying. I'm like, did you just see that?
Yeah, but that's the beginning of it right there. I said, no, it's working. They don't recognize him. We could spend time on that. Learn to live by faith. We've talked about that. Learn to not worry. Learn to cast your care on the Lord. Not take the enemy's thoughts. Boy, that's a big one right there. Not to take the enemy's thoughts. How about a thought of condemnation? Learn not to take condemnation. Develop the right mental habits. Reject bad mental habits. Not respond emotionally. Some of these things we've already talked about. Take hardness into our mind when it comes to obedience. We talked about that. How to be independent of circumstances. Here's one. How to not get ahead of God. Whoa. How many of you know whenever he said, I know in my life there's things he shared with me about years ago that still haven't come to pass. Boy, I'm wanting to get to it, you know. But if I tried in the flesh to get to it, I'd get ahead of God. Moses got ahead of God. Remember that? God said, I'm going to use you to deliver Israel. And, he did it in the flesh, killed that Egyptian, and it delayed him 40 years. Boy, that's a big lesson for young people, for young Christians especially, because they've not yet learned to trust him to bring to pass what he said. They want to work it out themselves. But they get it all messed up like Moses did. How to resist fear and a bad report. Not mix the inner witness with your own thinking. Analyzing, calculating, and rationalizing what God said. How about learning to hold your attention on God? Oh, that's a big one for me. I every now and then I just really get zeroed in and drill down on that one. Especially when the wind and the remember Peter walking on the water and everything's distracting him and he got his eyes off Jesus. Everybody still here? Let's just say a couple more here. How about learning to yield only to the Holy Spirit and not other spirits? That's a learning. Hey, and here, let me say this. All these things, you're like, oh, I got so much to learn. Just let the teacher teach you. Don't get all mental about, okay, I got to learn this. No, just let the Holy Ghost teach you. And here's something. Don't get discouraged if you don't learn all this by tomorrow. How many of you have a high school degree? Anybody got a high school degree in here? Did you go to kindergarten one day and get the degree the next day? The high school degree? The diploma? No. Took some time. And it's going to take some time to do all this. Pastor, you're saying all this because you've arrived? Oh, dear Jesus. I got to work on these things. But see, how many of you know he's fine as long as I'm making progress? He's a good father, isn't he? Here's one. How about, let me say something about listening to many voices. Peter, he within 10 verses of Matthew 16, verse 13 through 23, within 10 verses, he yielded to the Holy Ghost and he yielded to the devil. And he spoke for the Holy Ghost the first time and he spoke for the devil the second time. Peter didn't yet know the different voices. He hadn't learned. Amen. One time Jesus said, we want to call fire down from heaven. They didn't receive you, Jesus. He said, you don't know what spirit you're of. They yielded to something. They didn't even realize they had done it. You don't know. Isn't that what he said? What spirit you're of. We've got to learn unity. I didn't plan on, I wanted to just focus on the mind this morning, but the Lord just gave me all these things. Just go through all these things. Learn to walk in unity. It's a bad habit to always take the other side. It's a bad habit to be divisive or strifeful or be offended. That's walking in the flesh. Learn to walk in unity. Here's one. Learn to know people after the Spirit rather than the flesh. I know this is a lot. But that's a big problem in the church world still. That's the only reason there are racial problems in the church. The only reason. It's because people know people after the flesh rather than their heart. Amen. Learn to know people after the Spirit. And there's a thousand ways you could go with that. Learn to not think more highly of yourself than you ought to think.
And here's another one. In the context of that, learn your measure of faith and to stay within it. Amen. Learn to break the habit of the first thought always being, that costs too much. Amen. How many have ever noticed that habit in your life? Oh, that costs too much. You got to break that habit. Amen. So, let me just say this and we'll close. Learn to rest. That's part of casting your care on the Lord and so forth and so on. But even physically, there's the Lord taught me years ago. You notice that? The Lord taught me. Isn't that so good that he's so good that he wants to teach us all these things? He taught me there's three reasons Christians don't rest. And he's helping me. You know, he's helping me. He said because either something's wrong with them physically. How many of you know physical conditions, you know, strong pain or something like that can keep somebody from resting. Or other physical conditions. Then second of all, he said, and this is the big one, he said they don't quiet their mind. Their minds are going. And third of all, their conscience is bothering them. He said, if you're having trouble getting to sleep, ask yourself why. Or based on those three things. Well, I don't have any pain, you know, don't have any physical. So, is my mind going? Usually that's it. It's thinking about your day, thinking about this, thinking about what that person said, thinking what I'm going to answer them, thinking about how I'm going to hit them in the nose tomorrow, thinking, just kidding. But, you know, just you're going. You're thinking about what happened in your day and what you got to do tomorrow and so forth. And listen, the Bible said we're supposed to think, but there needs to come a time you just turn it off. Turn it off and rest. Hallelujah. 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 A little different this morning. I just had that in my heart. I was praying Friday, was it, I believe, and Friday morning, and that just kept coming up in my spirit. Praise God. Tell your neighbor, we are disciples. Amen. You know what the great blessing of all this is that the payoff of learning each one of these things is amazing. Just take the one of learning to know people after the Spirit. That'll change so many problems. Just eliminated a whole slew of problems right there. But there's a lot of people haven't learned that. Haven't learned that. We're learning.